I wonder what they were like, these saints of the church, these ones set apart from their time for all time to be plaque-worthy, window-worthy, names engraved in brass and glass to be read and revered for time immemorial. These generous ones, these dedicated ones, these holy ones with dishpan hands for the Lord, their names etched in stone and story, their witnesses echoing through the ages, arcing through history, leaders and orators and servants of the poor. I wonder what they were like, these giants of the pulpit, these titans of song and bell and organ bench, these cathedral builders, these architects of empathy, these boardroom battlers, these pious peacemakers, these bully boys sent to war with guns in their hands. What's beneath the shrine, I wonder? Who were they, these saints, the church, beyond the plaques and windows of brass and glass? What made them cry, I wonder? What made them light up like a child on Christmas morning? What made them strike out like a boot-stomped snake? Were they anything like me, I wonder? Did they have doubts sometimes? Did they feel empty and alone sometimes? Did they feel unworthy sometimes? Did they hold grudges for slights against their character? Did they let their ego better, their better angels, inquiring minds want to know, did they carry stress in their shoulders or in their hips? Did they have a gluten intolerance? Did the Toronto Maple Leafs break their hearts? These saints of the church, were they kind, I wonder? What were their dreams, I wonder? What kept them wakeful in the witching hour of the night, I wonder? What gave them strength to face the day, I wonder? These saints of the church immortalized in brass and glass, what would they think of me, I wonder? What would they think of us? These saints of the church forever etched in stone and story, will we ever be able to live up to their legacy? I wonder. In the Bible, when someone climbs a mountain, that's a signal. That's a signal that something important is about to happen and we need to pay attention. For 40 years, Moses was the leader of the Israelites, their great prophet, priest, warrior, and judge. He led them out of slavery to Mount Sinai to receive the law. He led them through their trials in the wilderness. And now finally, they stand at the edge of the promised land, about to enter into the promise that God made so many generations ago to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The text from Deuteronomy says, "Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him the whole land. And there on the mountaintop, the Lord tells Moses, 'I will give this land to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there.' And then Moses died, and he was buried in an unmarked grave." So close. Close enough to see, but not enough to cross. Stopped short of finishing what he started. To our modern sensibilities, this might seem unfair, cruel even. Now, astute Bible readers will know that the stated prohibition against Moses' entry into the promised land is the penalty he must pay for disobeying God in an incident recorded in the book of Numbers. In that account, God commands Moses to bring water to the grumbling people by speaking to a rock. Instead, frustrated by their constant demands and bickering, Moses speaks instead to the people with heat in his voice, saying, "Listen, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And then he strikes the stone hard, twice with his staff. That's all it took. One slip, one mistake, and now no promised land for him. Perhaps, as some commentators proposed, the punishment stems from Moses claiming to be the source of the miracle rather than giving credit to God. Perhaps, But in the grand scheme of things, it seems to be a pretty big punishment for a pretty petty crime. And so perhaps something else is going on here. Perhaps there's a way to see the limitations put on Moses as a source of life for him and also those who would come after him. Because life rarely works out exactly as we would hope, right? Life isn't a TV sitcom where all the loose threads are tied up in 22 minutes. We all know something about unfulfilled dreams and unmet goals and unrealized expectations. We all know something about disappointment, don't we? In this culture that idolizes productivity and personal success and checking things off lists, we all know the pain and the shame that can come with failure, don't we? Jewish congregations traditionally read through the whole Torah, the five books of Moses, every year, ending with the Deuteronomy text we read today, the text of Moses dying on the mountain, of him not crossing over the Jordan River, of him failing to finish what he started. Liturgically speaking, the people remain outside the promised land before starting right back at the beginning of the book of Genesis with, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Endings and beginnings, life from death. There is a cycle here, a circle here, a continuum that no mortal can complete, only participate in, only play a part in before passing the mantle forward. The Torah may end with Moses on the mountaintop, but that's not the end of the story. Knowing he would not cross into the promised land, Moses spoke to God in the book of Numbers, saying, "Let the God of the spirits of all flesh appoint someone over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord may not be like a sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him." From the mountaintop, it is then Joshua that leads the people across the Jordan River. Moses was the great leader of the Hebrew people, their prophet, priest, warrior, and judge, and yet perhaps his crowning achievement was his mentorship and the preparation of Joshua to assume leadership once he was gone. Perhaps Moses' greatest success was letting go of his need for personal success to ensure the success of the community, carrying forth the stories and the songs and the faith into the future. Perhaps his greatest act was the act of faith. Faith in God and God's mountaintop promise that the people would enter the promised land, even though he wouldn't be there to see it. On April 3rd, 1968, the night before he was assassinated, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. addressed the crowd in Memphis, Tennessee, and said, "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. It doesn't matter with me now, but I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know that we as a people will get to the promised land." Perhaps the greatest act is the act of faith. Faith that God's promises will come true, even if we don't get to see it with our own eyes. There's an instinct. There's an instinct to venerate the great people of history or the Bible or even our own church, to honor them with monuments of brass or glass, stone or story. And yet they were all just people. Moses, Joshua, Dr. King, Peter Bryce, Gene Stinson, Mary Jackman, all people just doing the best they could to discern God's will in their own days and play their part in their own ways, responding to their own times with their own skills and gifts and resources. But they, like us, made mistakes. None of them completed the race or tied up all the loose ends. The struggles for racial equality and peace in the land and justice for all continue to this day into our times because we are all complicated creatures, perfect only in our paradox, forever finding ourselves somewhere on the spectrum between sinner and saint. We are all in need of mercy. We're all dependent on God's grace. We are all given a certain number of moments that we can fill either with beauty or ugliness, service or selfishness, life or death, and it matters which. It matters which because we live not just for ourselves, not just in the now, no. Individually and as a people, we leave a legacy, a comet tail of ice and ash that impacts the dreams and the hopes and the futures of those who come after us. Can we move beyond our addiction to instant gratification and the need to see ourselves as the hero of every story? Can we shift our sense of success from short-term wins to the well-being of the next generation, the seventh generation down the line? Can we live as though we share in God's immortality with the faith that what we do truly matters and shapes a future we may never see? Can we remember that the blessings we receive are never, never just for us? They are for the blessing of the world that is yet to come. On this, our anniversary in All Saints Sunday, we remember that in this place, we are always surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, our brothers, sisters, and siblings in Christ who built, loved, and sustained this church. These walls still know their voices. These pews still hold their tears. On this day, we honor their legacy, 205 years in the making. We honor them by remembering them as people just like us. They had dreams and they made mistakes and they did their best to respond to their days in their own ways, and then they moved on or they passed on, and others were called forth by Spirit to serve in their stead. Being part of the Church of Christ means taking part in something bigger than ourselves, as vast and as beautiful as the universe itself. There is a cycle here, a heartbeat here, a continuum of life that all of us can participate in, but none of us can complete. It doesn't all depend on us. Each one of us, online and in person, is called forth to offer the best of ourselves into the joys and the challenges of our times, to bless as we have been blessed, and then to pass that blessing forward to those who will carry it forward, onward, ever onward, carrying with them now our legacy, onward, ever onward, into the future that God promises, into the future that God promises for all the saints in light. Blessings be upon you. Amen.